Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Welcome to Let's Talk About It, a radio show and podcast brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, where we explore the depths of mental health, well-being, and self-care. I'm your host for today, Alfonso Ruiz, and each week we'll be having real conversations about the challenges we face, the strategies that help us cope, and the ways we can all find peace in our busy lives. Whether you're here to learn more about mental health, looking for support, or just need a little inspiration, you're not alone. This is a space to share, heal, and grow together. Whether you're living with mental illness or supporting someone who is, remember, help is always available, and seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. For services, call 442-265-1525 or toll-free 1-800-817-5292. Services are tailored to your needs and remain confidential. So take a deep breath, get comfortable, and let's dive in. This week, we have two special guests. I want to introduce Griselda Partida. She's a survivor, a counseling and life coach from Embrace Your Purpose, a foundation that she created, and the director for this foundation. I also want to introduce Christian Gamble. He's a community outreach specialist from Women Haven. Both of them are going to be on our show for today. We're very excited to have you both here. So for those of you listening, take a deep breath, get comfortable, and let's dive in. This week, we have a lot to talk about. So join us on Thursdays at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingue, 88.7 FM, Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on KXO AM radio station 1230, and on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. on KXO Radio FM 107.5. Cristian and Griselda, welcome to our radio show. How are you both doing?
Doing well, thank you. We're very grateful for this opportunity to share about Woman Haven, and also for Griselda to share about her story, how she became a survivor and how she has been able to thrive in her life, how she's able to make an impact in those in the community, and also in her children and her family, how it has affected her too as well, but also sharing as well what Woman Haven does. And also recently we had Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which we would like to also dig into and share about that too.
Wonderful. Hello, Griselda.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here. And more than anything, that Woven Heaven and the radio to be able to hear my story. And not only that, to see and hear about all the things that Woven Heaven can be providing to every single person.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. We're really excited to have you here. You know, before we get started, I'd like our audience to know a little bit about what makes you you, right? Because we are on a radio show. Let's make it a little bit more personable. I want to start with Christian. You know, what brought you to this space where you work today with Women Haven?
So as you mentioned, I'm a community outreach specialist, and my goal is to educate individuals about the services that are available, the resources available here in Woman Haven, and also to interact with other local agencies that provide similar services, or let them know that if they know anyone, if there's someone out there, whether it's their family member, coworker, friend, anyone, even a neighbor or a cousin, they can come to Woman Haven and we'll welcome them, make them feel welcomed. In any of the services we offer, whether they're a victim of domestic violence or simply that they're needing of counseling or therapy services. So we always want to make them know that the help is out there. A lot of individuals think that the Imperial County does not have a lot of resources, but in reality, I believe that we're growing, and that's something great, because the more work that is being done, the more help that people can get. So we are very grateful for those partnerships that we have created along us, including Behavioral Health too as well. And with all the people that have come into our services and how they've been able to thrive and have a successful life after the situation that they've gone through.
All right. Thank you, Cristian. And Griselda, I'm privileged to hear about your story in our second segment. And before we get into that, I just want to know a little bit about yourself. Like, what keeps you going each day? What keeps you motivated in the space that you work in now, so our community can get to know you a little bit on a more personal level?
No, thank you. I'm a counselor and life coach, and I work with women, children, young adults who's been actually on domestic violence. And some of them, they just give me a call and they need some of the support. And actually, Embrace Your Purpose came out through what I went through on domestic violence. So I decided to continue my education, continue being doing my master's degree on counseling. And then I decided to become and get certified as a Christian counselor and life coach. And later on, had the opportunity to get certified under the state of California to be under the program of Butter program. So I can be able not only be counseling, but also to be teaching classes for domestic violence and for the anger management. So there's other things that I've been doing, but during all this time, as I've been doing it, I had the great opportunity that some of the times when women are coming to me or young adults are coming to me and asking for some help as I'm helping them, being creating a safe plan to be removing them and help them to be coming out from domestic violence, I'm being able to be contact a couple of times Judith from Family Solutions, so she can start the process for actually the helping them for a restraining order. Or I'm being contact Judith sometimes to be asking her if they there's a space available for a shelter. So I'm really close contact with Woven Heaven and all the other stuff that they do. And it's been a while already, but that I came out from domestic violence since 2019. But up to today, I still been in contact with Woven Heaven. And I'm really thankful and grateful for the program.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much, Griselda, for sharing. And, you know, the strong partnership, collaboration, and the trust that you've built with those in the community that you work with, having, you know, the lived experience is something that I can imagine helps build that trust even more so, right, from the victims mm-hmm. that have come to you. And, you know, talking about some of the services at Women Haven, Cristian, you know, tell us a little bit about Women Haven, the history, the mission, how did it start, and what are some of the services that are offered there?
Well, Women Haven started in 1976, so we've been offering services for 47 years. Women Haven, we actually started in Holtville in a small motel where we had our shelter there. So it was through two individuals, Virginia Samaha and through Alice Armstrong. They're the ones that saw these issues happening in Imperial County, and they gathered together as a group, and they started recruiting people to volunteer at Woman Haven. And then from there, from having our shelter in Holtville, we expanded, and we had our thrift store that is located now on 742 West Main Street, North Central. And then we also have our offices too, where we offer a variety of services, whether it's a wellness program for counseling or housing program, our shelters. And we also opened three shelters from them. We only used to have one. And now we've been able to expand and give a better and bigger service to those individuals that might be escaping from domestic violence, that need a warm place to stay at, or a meal and their families that probably don't have clothing during that time. So we empower them to raise awareness and to raise their voice, so that way when they receive the services, they can eventually transition and start getting the help that they need to overcome their situation. And our mission is that we provide a comprehensive response to domestic violence, human trafficking, and stalking through community outreach, intervention, and client support services. We also provide shelter services through as well, and that is what helps us continue reaching out to those individuals and helping out to individuals that are going through a situation, or even the secondary victims as well, like the children and the other individuals that are in the household that are being affected in that situation from domestic violence.
Wow. Wow. Well, I hear a lot of passion, Christian, and that's amazing. Yes. You know, both you and Griselda, but I could tell that, you know, the passion is so important. And that's something that when I'm privileged to interview somebody on the radio show, I've been very fortunate that people that work in the human services field, you know, working with people of our community, there's always such great passion, and no exception with the two of you. You guys have the passion. I can see that. I can hear that. About the emergency shelter. So, tell us a little bit more about the emergency shelter. If I have a friend or a relative that I know is maybe going through a difficult time, what is something that I should tell them? Like, what is it something that we want to tell our community about how to access it and so the services there?
Of course. So we have three emergency shelters. We have a 24/7 hotline that individuals can call, which is 760-353-8530. A hotline is available at any time, and an advocate will answer. If, let's say, we're not open in our office hours, we're open through the shelter, and one of our advocates will take down your information. We'll find a way to get you into the shelter, whether it's providing you with transportation or whether it's meeting you in a location where you can get picked up somewhere safe. And every time that we mention safety for a client, it's different for each one of them. So I might think that something might be safe for Griselda, but Griselda might think that safety for her is different than what I think. So we always try to accommodate to them, see what they're requesting is. Also with the shelter too, what we do is that we welcome them with a warm meal and with a bed to the families and also their children. So sometimes children are included in that situation, or they're present. And when it comes to escaping domestic violence, sometimes the only thing that they have is the clothes that they're wearing and their shoes. So we provide them with clothing too as well. If they need to go to our thrift store for clothing or even furniture, sometimes during the process of them being in the shelter for 30 days, we provide them with transitional housing. And then eventually, once they start getting a job, once they start going back to school, which is something that we always empower them and we advocate for them to do, then we help them get into permanent housing with our housing program. With the shelter, we provide transportation. We provide also food, services, if they need to go into like an appointment for their benefits, if they need to go to an appointment for our counseling program, we always try to connect them to other services too, whether it's in our Woman Haven services or in other programs that might be available in the county. And like I said, our mission is to help them grow and become a thriver in the community and be able to gain independence after that situation, and also help their children too as well.
Wonderful. I'm thinking about just back when I was, in school, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. What are the things that we need first and foremost? Shelter, food, and then security, of course, right? And it sounds like that's everything that you guys stand for, you know, providing that emergency shelter when the women and or the individual that's going through domestic violence and their family needs, right? Like their children, the secondary victims, as you mentioned. And you mentioned that the program, the shelter is about 30 days. And then from there, there's an opportunity to transition them into a longer term shelter? Is that how that works?
So what we call it is transitional housing. So the transitional housing is where we place them in an apartment. They're all confidential, obviously, for safety reasons. And during that transitioning period, we try to, you know, get them into their education, get them into getting a job, helping them become more independent so that way they can get the apartment that they would like whether it's an apartment or in a house for them and their families. So the transitional period, you know, it varies for each person. We have a lot of, you know, also clients and also success stories that gone, you know, from being unhoused and being domestic violence victims to being, you know, thriving and to have their job, having the education back and having their degree and being able to sustain themselves and their family and be protected and safe from their abuser. With the help also as well with the restraining order, like Griselda mentioned with Judy as well.
Tell me a little bit about the restraining order. Is that something that is required for someone that wants to go into shelter?
It's not a necessarily a requirement. However, we do obviously offer it to them, like, hey, if you're being affected and if this person is trying to get close to you or they're trying to control you, contact you, you know, there's always that option for them. Like I said, we consider safety for them as well, but they're the ones that make the decision whether or not they want to continue with the restraining order. So Judy and also another advocate, her name is Norma Ventura, are the ones that are providing those services. Judy and Norma, what they do is that they offer them that assistance, and they sometimes when they come in, they don't know anything about the legal court system. Sometimes they don't know the terminology. It may be a little overwhelming for them. So they guide them towards that process so that way they feel comfortable and safe. And they explain to them the paperwork, what they have to fill out, the court as well. They go with them to court to make them feel safe. We're not lawyers, just letting you know, because I know a lot of individuals might think that we're lawyers, but we're there as advocates. So we represent you in a moral way. And also we provide safety planning. So in case there's a emergency or there's a situation where the client may be in danger, we help them escape in a way where their safety is not compromised. So, like I said, safety is different for everyone. So it's something that is discussed between the client and the advocate, and then a decision is being made. But no, they don't necessarily have to be getting a restraining order in order to be into our services.
Okay. Wow. Thank you, Christian. And then you mentioned something right now, you know, court, the legal system. Could be a scary process. And something that a lot of us may not be familiar with, when it comes to the judicial system, as advocates, are you guys able to attend hearings with the victims? Or what is that? Does your agency offer support in that? Or do you link them maybe somewhere that they do?
Yes. So we do accompany with them. We go with them to court. Judy or Norma either goes with them. Usually Judy, I always see her going to court every Thursday. And what they do there is they provide moral support and to prepare them mentally and also emotionally. Sometimes we might not expect the judge to ask a certain question, or they might be feeling under pressured, or that anxiety might be going in their bodies and their minds because they're seeing their aggressor there in front of them. So we just try to prepare them emotionally, and also for them to be able to answer any questions that the judge might ask. So yes, we do provide the court accompaniment.
Okay. That's an amazing support as well. And I don't know, Griselda, if there's anything that you want to share at this point. I know I've been asking a lot of questions, but regarding maybe some of that experience that you've had in the second segment, as I mentioned, we are going to talk more about your experience as a survivor. But just to give our listeners a little bit of perspective on some of what we've talked about now, is there anything that you would like to, you know, kind of educate us on?
Yes, and I going to second what Christian mentioned about Judith and Woven Heaven, Family Solutions be there for the victim. And I'm actually a one of the survivors that when I went through the first time, it was in 2015. And I didn't went through the whole process. I was scared. But one thing, when I came back on 2019, I was able to see all the support that Judith Preacher and Family Solutions was providing, actually. And they take you to the process step by step. And more than anything, what the victim needs during that time is actually the be there for the person and feel that you are not alone. So that's one of the things that I experienced personally with Woven Heaven and Family Solutions.
Amazing. Just their support, right? As Christian was mentioning earlier, I can imagine. I've never been through the situation myself, but just to be in court and potentially knowing I may be facing my aggressor could be one of, I'm sure it's not the scariest, but one of the scariest moments, right? And just like you mentioned, Griselda, the first time, 2015, you didn't quite go through the process. And from what I've read, that's quite normal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is normal. And I never thought that I can, because as I was going through the process and being able to look at pictures and things like that, it was like, wait a minute. It happened several times that I called the police. And it was several times when I attempt to be getting help, but I was afraid to be getting the help and being taking it through it. And that's one of the things that is, it is common that a person will go and then back off their self. And even with the woman that I'm being helping sometimes, that happened too. They will contact, give the call, and then later on for a while, you will not hear anything about them. And then months later or even a year later, you will hear back again. And I can say that in there, to any woman, any young adult, any person who has been going through domestic violence, the help is going to be there. Even if you decide to be moving forward right now or you do it later on, the help is going to be there.
Thank you, Griselda. I think one of the things I appreciate most is being able to normalize that it's very common not to be able to follow through the first time, and reassuring our community, any victim that may be listening, the doors are open and the help is there.
Yes.
So I was looking a little bit about some of the services, and we're almost done with the first segment, but I do want to ask a little bit about the wellness program. That's also offered through Women Haven. Is that correct?
Yes. And just to clarify, the services are for women, men, and children. A lot of individuals think that it's only for women just because of the name. So that's why we call it a Center for Family Solutions, because it's including the families, and it's including the men, the children, and the women. So with our wellness program, we offer individual counseling and therapy. I know a lot of individuals, you know, that might be going through a situation, might think that mental counseling or either therapy might not help them out. It's been something that has been stigmatized in the Valley, but slowly but surely we're able to help out those individuals, open up and letting them know that counseling is effective for them for the situation, especially for a domestic violence victim that has gone through a lot. We hear a lot of stories. So, the wellness program offers counseling and therapy, not just only to the victims, but also to the community itself from the Imperial Valley. The services that are given through there are on Zoom or in person or even on the phone too. And anyone can call to make an appointment at 760-337-3915. And as long as they have Medi-Cal insurance and they're part of the county, they can receive the services. So I know mental health is something that, like I said, is commonly not being, you know, normalized in the Valley. And our mission is to let them know that there's help out there, whether it's them going through anxiety, depression, any kind of symptom that is affecting their mental health or their situation. It can be a child too, even that might go through something. So we welcome anyone there. All the services are confidential, obviously, for safety. And we also do referrals there through our wellness program. So they might qualify because of their insurance. We always refer them to either behavior health or any other services that they can apply into, depending on their insurance, or maybe also as well for other purposes too, that they might want to obtain something that is more like a prescription, like a medication, mm-hmm. then we refer them. But with Woman Haven's wellness program, it's just individual counseling. And we have our 6 counselors. We have them all certified. Also, we have 2 MRTs, 2 mental rehab techs that also provide case management too as well.
Wow. Thank you, Christian. Thank you. And that takes us through the first segment. I'm happy that we were able to end on that note with the services that you provide to the family at a whole, right? Anybody in the community, yes, as you mentioned. So listeners, please join us for our second segment. We're going to talk more with Christian Gamble and Griselda Partida. We'll be back soon.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining back to listen to your weekly radio show, Let's Talk About It. This is a radio show brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. We are very excited, as I previously mentioned in our first segment, to have both Christian Gamble, a community outreach specialist from Women Haven, also known as Center for Family Solutions, and Griselda Partida, a survivor, counseling life coach from Embrace Your Purpose, and also the director for Embrace Your Purpose. During our second segment, as I mentioned towards the end of the last, I really want to give the space to Griselda, a victim and now a survivor of domestic violence herself. I really appreciate you being here, Griselda, and being open with our listeners about your experience now as a survivor and what you went through as a victim and how you got there. I think it's incredibly important, and I want to give you the time to really talk to us about it, about yourself and how you got to where you are right now. Because in speaking to you, which has been a pleasure, I can see that, I can imagine you're at a much different place now than where you were years back. So Griselda, tell us about yourself and tell us your story.
Hi, thank you so much. And for this opportunity again that you are giving me, yes, I say I'm not a victim anymore. I'm a survivor, and my children are survivors too. And the first time that I went through the process, as we were talking, and Christian was sharing also, that a lot of times it's like they go and then you don't move forward, and you decide to not being going through the process. And a lot of times is the stigma and the questions like, how come the person doesn't move out, or how come the person doesn't go through the whole process and drop off the whole thing. And a lot of times I can say it's because of fear. That's one of the things. The first time that I tried and I get the paperwork from Woven Heaven, it was on 2015, and I got the papers and I got the big envelope with all the information that I supposed to be putting together, and it was overwhelming, and I was afraid of what would happen, and I decided to not do it. I got the envelope. Honestly, I got it. I threw it on the trash can, and I didn't want to know about it. then the domestic violence continued. And each time it was getting worse. Each time it was getting more violent, more verbal abuse, more manipulation and threats, that it got to the point until March 3rd, 2019, it got into an assault. I was married with this person, and he assaulted me in front of our daughter. She was barely turning 6 years old, and everything happened in her bedroom. So that it was devastating being able to see her face, how scared she was, and how she was like screaming, but at the same time, I was able to see the fear that she was having, and that she was froze because she wasn't able to move. She was like kind of paralyzed. And in the meantime that I was held down and being hurting, because that person was hurting me physically. And it was hard, but right then I had time to let it go. Why a lot of times a woman, or even because it can be even a young man, and it can be a teenager or someone, that why they're staying. And a lot of times we stay because of family. We stay because we're afraid that something could happen. And for me right then, it was hoping that I could be keeping the family together. And until I realized that there was nothing else that I couldn't do. It was time for me and for mainly for my children to be moving out of that place. So it wasn't the first time that I called the police. There were several times when I called the police. And several times I was the one who was leaving the home, even when I was when my daughter was really little, like baby, and was breastfeeding my daughter. And I have to be moving out, because when the police was getting there, he was calmed down. But I was overwhelmed and talking like really hard and really not like calm. My tone, it was really rough, I would say. But it was hard to see that they were not able to see why. Yeah. So the last time they told me, the police, when they got here, it's like, well, he's calm, and it looks like you are really overwhelmed and you are really like not like put together. So you stay, but he will not leave. So you decide, you stay or you go. And if you go, you need to get your stuff like right now. Kind of, they didn't give me a night choice. So I knew if I would be staying, I would not make it because what happened. So I just got like a little things like my daughter's and my son stuff, and we move out. And they escort us out, actually. The police was one, police car was in the front, and the other one was behind us, escorting us out. And I got on the middle of the street, and my daughter asked me, the teenager, what are we going to do? And I just look at her and say, like, I don't know. I just don't know. And the officer stand on one side of the door, and he asked me, where are you going? And I look at him, and it's like, through the window, it's like, I don't know. Because we were not having a place to go. And when you know you cannot be going to a place, and knowing that your children need safe, and that was the only thing that I was looking for. So that day, that's what I did. I wasn't having that much money with me. So we went to a hotel and my daughter asked me, what is going to happen now? And says, like, we're not going back. And she looked at me and I say, Mom, are you sure? And then my son asked me, Mom, are you sure? He's like, yes, I'm sure. We're not going back. This is over. Because I knew and I realized that the person didn't care even about his biological children, his biological child, because it was one child only. That the little one, the youngest one, was his biological daughter. And he didn't care what he did in front of her. So I start thinking, it's like, if he didn't care about her, he would not care about the other ones neither. And it's when I was like, no, I'm not going back. But that day, that night, it was the hardest day of my whole life, I think, because my two oldest ones start telling me everything that happened at home when I wasn't home. And that was heartbreaking to hear from them, the things that happened. But not only that, they were having a lot of recordings when I wasn't home. Why was happening this? Because a lot of the times, this is one thing that I start doing it. When the manipulation was getting so bad, anything that he was doing later on, he was saying that I was doing it to him. And because I was so overwhelming and not thinking straight, because you get so manipulated that you cannot think straight, that I start doubting about myself that maybe what he was saying it was true and what I was thinking wasn't true. So I start recording a lot of the situations. And for some reason, I told my children, if I'm not home, whenever if something happens, just record it. Record whatever is going on. So we get used to it, be recording everything. Because there were so many things that were happening and we were doubting about what was going on. Because it was so much the manipulation and the mental abuse and psychological abuse that it was hard to be thinking clear. You get up to the point that you don't think clear. I went and I to Family Solutions, to Woven Heaven, and I told Judith, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I know that I need to be here. But I don't know, it's like, I don't know what to do. There was another person who told me about Woven Heaven, and they say it's like, maybe they can help you. It's like, go and talk to them, and they did. They helped me with a restraining order, and I told you that I'm scared, I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I was threat, and I was threat that something can happen to my children. And I told Judith that I'm scared. I don't know if I should be doing this or not. So she helped me through the process. And even on that minute when she was helping me with the paperwork, she got the phone and she called him and said, a restraining order is going to be taken in place. It's going to be filed. And I was like on shock right then. It's like, oh, this is real.
Did that feel empowering?
Yeah. Yes, but at the same time, it's like, this is real. She believed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the situations that it happened, I didn't talk to a lot of people, but to the few people that I talk about, they were like kind of looking at me like, no, I don't think this is like, he's really calm. He's really this. He's really that. And it's like, but as soon as he was like door closed, it was a totally different person. It wasn't the same. So that was one of the things that it helped me to be going through it, being able to have like Judith being there for me, being helping me to do every single, even when I went in and got the papers to the court, and it's like, get them, bring them back, and I want to tell you what to do. So she told me, even, you take this to the sheriff, you send this, and you do this, and then to the schools, every single thing. And right away, the emergency restraining order was in place. Right then. Wow. Right now, I can say, thanks to that, I'm a survivor, and my children too. And I have a restraining order, a permanent restraining order, until I die or my children die. We have a permanent restraining order.
I really appreciate you. And I feel like we're not quite done with your story, and that's okay. We can continue in the third segment because I want to give you the space. I got chills when you mentioned that she believed you and she picked up the phone and she called the individual and said a restraining order has been filed. And I think one of the reasons for that is because I saw a change in even like, your body language when you said that, like she believed me, right? And I really want to mention it because our audience doesn't have the privilege to see you. But I could see that that was maybe one of the turning points for you as well.
Yes, it was. Having someone on your side that believe you, what you are going through, is a huge impact, because it's telling you, Griselda, you are not crazy. It's real. And your children are not crazy. They went through it.
Griselda, we're wrapping up our second segment. We're going to start with you on our third. We're going to talk about where you are now, some of the success stories as well through Women Haven. For those listeners, please join us for a third segment. We'll be back with you shortly.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us this week on Let's Talk About It, a radio show brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Again, this is your host for today, Alfonso Ruiz. I'm excited to be here and sharing the space with Griselda Partida and Christian Gamble. Just before we ended our last segment, Griselda was talking to us about her story and how she is a survivor of domestic violence. And it was incredibly powerful. I mentioned I even got chills at one point. And many of you out there listening may very well be getting that same reaction. I'm very privileged to interview you, Griselda. And I know that it's a short space to talk about everything that's gone on. But I would really like to know from that moment where we left off, where Judy was helping you file that restraining order, you know, ensuring that you and your children were all protected for eternity, right, is what I heard, for the rest of your lives. Where are you today, 2019 to 2025, 6 years? Where are you today, Griselda? How are you doing as a survivor?
As a survivor, I'm on a place where I never thought that I can be. One of the things is that I grant full custody of my youngest one or daughter. And even that everything that it happened, it's like it went through the whole restraining order, the full custody, and the divorce. So up to right now, it's like be rebuilding, not only I think myself, but also with my children. During that process, because the process actually turned to be like 5 years, being going back and forth to the court, fighting for my daughter's custody and getting CPS involved, doing investigation. And with more assurance, I say, I'm not going back because I'm not going to be losing my children because of this person. And I realize that it come into the term that acceptance, that not because in for any woman, any man, or any young adult, even teenagers, if they are dating, a lot of times it's not what you actually can be doing. You can be doing your part, and you can be working hard to be having the relationship. But when the other side doesn't want to be doing it, that's what I learned, that we all have free will, that we all decide if I want to be working in my person or not. So I decide to start working on myself, and I make a decision to finish my master's degree on counseling. And during that time when I was doing it, I even asked my children, are you guys on board? Because I'm going to finish school. And they told me yes, that they will go through it with me. And we did it. We graduate. I will not say I graduate from and getting my master's degree. We graduate. We got our master's degree. Because thanks to them, I was able to do it. A month before I graduate with my master's, I'm going to be honest, I start praying and asking God how I'm going to be doing things or what he wants me to be doing. Because I was able to see so many women when I was going to the court. I was able to see so many women, so many young women, so many young men that if they were going and having restraining orders at the same time that I was going through it. And I thought, how can this stop? How actually can this stop? What can I do? So I started doing some research instead of being an educational counselor, I decided to be shifting it a little bit. I did finish my master's, but then I decided to be certified as a Christian counselor and life coach. So through there, and through that path, I come out with Royal Treasures first, which actually I have one of the things that I made on my site. I start selling like ID badges.
Oh, wow.
And I create them.
As Mario.
This is a little Mario.
Very
okay.
Nice.
And it's Yoshi? An ID badge.
Okay. Very cool.
So I start making them so I can actually cover some of the costs because I was going to the university at Point Loma Nazarene University. So I was driving 2 to 3 times a week. So I was doing that, and a lot of the stuff that I was doing, I asked permission to the university so I can be selling them so I can get my gas. When I was going back and forth, then I decided to talk to my children and talk to them about it, the counseling. And I asked them what they think, and they agree. But then we start looking for names. So between all of them, it came out, embrace your purpose. That even that it is hard and is devastating, we need to embrace our purpose. We have a purpose in life. And the purpose in life, what I learned is that even that I went through the desert, through the dark time, I can embrace that because that's what made me to be and become who I am right now. And I'm a counselor and life coach where I help women, young adults. I even been working with one young boy who is at IBC taking classes, who was on domestic violence. And right now he's been getting support from, and I have two young men, young adults, getting support through Embrace Your Purpose, doing counseling and life coaching. That's where I am right now. And also I do some of the, if they've been under CPS or they've been under Welfare to Work through the county, I also do the counseling for them. And being contract under another program, and I do reunification counseling. This is when the woman lost their children through CPS and the state take place and remove them. So but when they want to, like, when CPS decided that for them to be coming back home and be out of the system or being out of foster care, and they are coming back home, so I do the reunification counseling, which is counseling with the mom and separate having the counseling with the children, young adults, teenagers, and then bring them family back together. So that's another thing that I'm doing right now. Up to right now, it's been doing a lot of the stuff, the counseling, and being able to see children coming back home with mom and dad, being able to see women being restored, and some of them, they've been getting the help through Judith Preacher, through Family Solutions. So whenever I see a situation, I send a message to Judith and says, like, I have this. It's like, can I send her to you? Or can I, what can I do? Or things like that. So I stay really close in contact with them.
Amazing. Griselda, finding our purpose, right? And accepting that sometimes the things that we go through is for a higher purpose. And it's amazing that you found that purpose. And I like how you mentioned your children throughout your entire experience and the involvement of them, right? Are we going to go through this master's program? And we graduated, and the success is attributed to not just, you know, your willpower, but also their being with you every step of the process, but most definitely with your willpower to make a decision to leave that day. I believe you said it was March 3rd?
March 3rd, 2019.
That was the day that, you know, you chose to make a change for yourself and your family, and you broke that cycle. And it's a cycle that many victims, they don't get the opportunity to become survivors as yourself. So for those of you listening, you know, there is help out there. And there, you know, Griselda has given us the opportunity, the privilege to hear about her story, and now showing the other side of the coin, per se, right? Now there's another side. The grass is greener on this side. Is that right, Griselda?
Yes, it is. And really bright and beautiful.
Oh, thank you. You know, I just, I really appreciate you again sharing all that, all of your story, and just incorporating your children. I really love the, those little badge holders that you were showing me. What are they called again?
They are ID badges, and I have
ID badges. Amazing. So, like, let's say somebody's, I'm looking at one right now, everyone. It's Ariel, and it's Flounder, Little Mermaid, and Ursula. I know this because I too have a young daughter. So, and she loves Disney right now. They're amazing. Or do you sell these?
I do sell this, but there's a background for this ones too.
Okay.
Through the profit of this, I help those that are not able to. When they want to be going to a different place and they don't have transportation for them to be going to a place, the profit goes to them. It goes to actually back to the victims of domestic violence. Because a lot of times when they come to me, some of them, they're coming with children and they don't have, like Christian was mentioning, when they go into the shelter, they don't have something, or they come with an empty stomach and they have children. Mm-hmm. So the profit that I, for the things that I making, it goes to that. So I put that on the side so I can be able to be having the profit for them. And I go and being like on markets or anything like that, or any event, women's dinner or anything like that. so I can be doing it. And I do it on the long side of my children, actually.
Beautiful. That is beautiful.
So these are actually like my children's ideas, and I just put it together.
Wow.
So it's their brain being in action, actually. That's what I call it.
And I think some of the best ideas that I've seen that are out in the market actually come from children, right? Children have amazing ideas, and parents have been able to really embody that and bring it to fruition. I love what you're doing. We have only a few minutes left. I would like for Christian one more time to share contact information for Women Haven or Center for Family Solutions for anybody that wants to seek help. What is the best way to contact you guys for your services?
So we have our general number. We have our 763-353-8530. That's our general number, 763-353-6922. And also any emails can be reached. We can be taking them through our outreach email or our info email, which is info@womanhaven.org. We're open from Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 at 510 West Main Street in El Centro. And we offer services to any walk-ins as well.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. So I heard 510 West Main Street in El Centro is the location. The main number is 760-353-8530 for those of you listening. And there's help available. Griselda walked us through her experience, shared with her. I appreciate the vulnerability, the honesty, and the openness. I appreciate the education on the services from Women Haven as well that Christian ran us through at the beginning of the segment. For anyone seeking help, there is help. And it's okay if it doesn't happen the first time, as we talked about. It's very normal, but it'll give you the courage, hopefully, to come back and seek help again, just like Griselda told us through her life story. So everyone listening, whether you're living with mental illness or supporting someone who is, remember, help is always available, and seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. Services at Behavioral Health are also available, and we can be reached at 442-265-1525 or toll-free 1-800-817-5292. Services are tailored to your needs, and they're confidential. And we can also link you to other services such as Women Haven. And I'm very privileged to have interviewed both Griselda and Christian. Thank you both for your time. And we're going to end our show for today. Thank you all.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte-Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Aravalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.